How many want the blessings of God on your life? How many want the favor of God on your life? I believe most of us here, if we're honest, want the favor of God, the blessings of God in our life. But you know what? The next question is this. How many are willing to do what it takes to get the blessings of God on your life? You see, sometimes we got to get blessable before we can get blessed. We pray, God bless America, but we really need to pray, God make America blessable. And you know what? Speaking of getting in position to be blessed, did you hear about the Olympic champion? This particular young lady, Biles is her last name, young black lady, best I can recall. She is the renowned Olympic gold medal champion, won 4 gold medals and 1 bronze medal, more than any other gymnastic in American history, according to what I've read. But you know what she said in order to win these gold medals? She said 4 years ago she was a nobody. She had no really future. Oh, she was participating and practicing and preparing for the Olympics, but she was not a front runner by any means. And you know what she did? She was putting in about 20 hours a week to practice, to train for the Olympics, to win the gold medal. However, she was not adequate. She was not prepared for the gold medal. So you know what she did? 4 years ago, she decided to change her regimen. She said, from now on, I'm going to add 12 more hours a week to my training and thus be prepared to win the gold medals. So she added 12 more hours to a regimen. You know what that meant? It meant from 20 hours to 32 hours. That 12 hours additionally added to her schedule was the key, according to her, that made her win 4 gold medals and 1 bronze medal. Now, if that's true of an Olympic participant and a gold medal winner, how much more I got to thinking about us who named the name of Jesus as a Christian? Could it be that God is calling you and me to go a little further? Could it be that God is saying, well, a little bit more time in prayer, you might really get the breakthrough? Could it be that God is saying, hey, if you just study the book of Psalms and Proverbs every day, it will bless your heart. If you'll study Revelation and don't forget Genesis 2 and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and especially Proverbs, you become a wise man. Oh, yes. If you just really dive in deeper, a little bit deeper daily in the prison epistles, like, you know, Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and those wonderful prison epistles, you'll become understanding who you are in Christ. If you'll just go a little further, if you'll just let the Lord have His way in your life, it could be that you and I will see more of the favor of God, the blessings of God in our life. But speaking of that, I know sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Sometimes you're just not sure about everything. It reminded me, and I've told this before a while back, but it reminded me of the man riding down the road, and he saw a three-legged chicken. Have you ever seen a three-legged chicken? I've never seen a three-legged chicken, but this three-legged chicken is running down the road. This man's driving in his car. He sees a three-legged chicken. He says, wonder where that three-legged chicken's going. And so he has to ride fast to keep up with the three-legged chicken. He rides down the dirt road. He goes over, and the three-legged chicken makes his way over to a farm. Well, the man drives up in his truck. He sees a lot of three-legged chickens running around in the yard. They're everywhere, three-legged chickens. And the man says, where in the world all these three-legged chickens come from? He got out of his truck. He went up to the door. And a farmer came out to the outside on the porch, and the man said, sir, what about all these three-legged chickens? And the farmer said, well, we somehow or another, we bred them, and now we've got three-legged chickens. And the man that drove up on the farm that was noticing the three-legged chickens, he said, you know what, I love chicken, and I'm just wondering how a three-legged chicken tastes. The farmer said, we don't know, we can't catch them. Anyway, so much for that. But hey, look, do you want the favor of God on your life? I believe that the Lord has led me to a passage of Scripture this week as I've been praying and studying over this passage. And I think that you're going to be blessed beyond measure today. And in fact, I'll make this statement. Listen to me. You won't leave the same way you came in if you listen to God, what He says. Because there are at least 4 definite reasons I see in this text today why you and I need the favor and the blessings of God on our life. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, you've probably read over this passage, you've probably heard this passage, but if you're not careful when you're reading in Chronicles, you'll just read right over these names and just skip over the name that's mentioned in 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. The title of the message is this: Blessed with God's Favor. Blessed with God's favor. And I want to be blessed with God's favor. And I want you to listen today. I want you to pay attention. I want you to try to stay from being distracted from other things and ask God why you need the favor of God on your life. Why you need, and I need, the blessings of God on our life. Chronicles chapter 4. This is written from a priestly point of view. In fact, it's taken 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and the Chronicles, the priestly point of view, goes a little deeper into the subject, and these first few chapters are dealing with genealogies. In fact, there's 600 names, and again, you just read right over this name, skip over it as you're reading in your devotion. Matter of fact, you might fall asleep as you read some of these names that are listed and chronicled, which were very important. I want you to stand to your feet if you'd like to, and if you're able, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as we read the wonderful word of God. Blessed with God's favor. I want to be blessed with God's favor, and I believe you do too, or you wouldn't be here today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you're there, say amen. And notice in verse 1, the sons of Judah. So here begins a genealogical line. It actually starts with Adam, and it goes throughout this first few chapters of the book of Chronicles. We skip down to verse number 9. Look at verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The word honorable in the Hebrew is kabod. It means to enjoy the honor of man. Jabez, all of a sudden we're introduced to a man. If you're not familiar with this man's name, you will be familiar before the day over. However, I must say parenthetically, by way of introduction, we do not know a lot about this particular individual named Jabez. Only what's mentioned in these few verses are we able to glean a little insight about this man. Blessed with God's favor. Say that with me. Blessed with God's favor. One more time. Blessed with God's favor. That's what we want today. Verse 9 again. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. That is, his name means pain. How would you like to be named a name that was identified with sorrow or pain? Don't you know he was labeled all through his life? Keep reading, verse 10. Here's our text today. Underline it, circle it, somehow note it. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, notice what he said, and I want you to underline these phrases. We'll come back to them. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And the word bless there is the word barak, which means to invoke favor. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, Lord, that you would show favor upon me, Lord, that you would smile upon me, Lord. Notice what he said. And Jabez called in verse 10 on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And notice, enlarge my coast. Underline that. I like that terminology. Enlarge my coast. In other words, he's saying multiply. That boundaries, if you will, enlarge, multiply my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. The word evil there is ra, which means our, can also mean adversity, but also certainly can relate to the adversary, because we are very familiar with Job's occasion. Notice what he said, that thou wouldest, go back to verse 10, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. It may not grieve or pain me. And God granted him that which he requested. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, Father, we thank you now again for your favor. Oh God, I stand in need of your favor today. Lord, I stand in need of your blessings. I thank you for all of your good and perfect gifts that come down from above. from the Father of lights. But Lord, we recognize these days are requiring your favor to have influence in our legacy and our testimony and in the ministry. And we trust you now that you'll meet every need in this place today, that God, you'll show us where we're at, and that Father, where you want to take us, and that Lord will line up exactly what your will is for our life. We bless you, Jesus. I thank you again for changing my heart and saving my lost soul and forgiving my sins, and Lord, living in me day by day. And I pray that you'll forgive me and cleanse me now afresh of anything and everything, sins of omission and commission. And I commit this time to you and pray, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on husbands, fall fresh on wives, fall fresh on mamas, fall fresh on daddies, fall fresh on grandparents, young people, Father, the young generation, the teenagers. God, they need your favor so badly. Lord, they need your blessings in their life, and the children need your blessings in their life and need your protection on them in these days. And we ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'll rend the heavens, you'll pour out your power, that God, you'll just manifest your glory on us. And Father God, you'll change us from glory to glory. Thank you again for victory over the world, the flesh, the devil. And we say, when all said and done, we thank you for changing lives. I pray for those that are here that aren't saved and not Christians. God, you'll speak and draw them. As a man told me yesterday, Lord, I pray that God, you call them today. And you said the Spirit of God draws. I pray, Lord, you show us eternity. Show us heaven. Show us the Lord, the awfulness of being lost without you and going out into eternity. And yet show us, God, your great plan for us and your purpose for your will to be done in our life. And we thank you again and love you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. As we consider just for a moment Jabez, this message. And the message, of course, is in regards to blessed with God's favor. Blessed with God's favor. And so, we'll get this in a moment. Blessed with God's favor, Jabez. What about this man named Jabez? What about him? Do you know much about this man named Jabez? Well, he called upon the name of his God. And I want to carry you on four places, reasons, if you will, that you and I need the favor of God. How many want the favor of God on your life? We want the favor of God on our life. All of us do. But are we willing to do what God tells us to do? The prayer of Jabez. Now, before you look at your notes and say, Pastor, you preached on this 10 years ago. I might have preached on it 2 times in 25 years. This is a different message, by the way. I know you take notes in your Bible and you dot them, and I'm glad to see that. Hallelujah. But I want you to know the Lord gave me this special message this week for this time. And here are the reasons, 4 reasons that I suggest to us today that we need the favor of God. Number one, how many want the favor of God? So that you can be a blessing because of those around us. Those around us. Now, whether you know it or not, you need God to bless you today, because there are those in whom God has entrusted us who are around us. Our family, our friends, our peers, our students at school, young people, our co-workers at work. And so may I suggest to you today, we need the blessings of God because of those that are around us. Have you got it? Number one, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Number two, there's a second reason I see in the text. Not only do we need God's favor because of those that are around us, but secondly, I believe that we need God's favor because of, listen, the opportunities that are ahead of us. I said the opportunity. No, God's got a plan for you today. Did you know there's some doors that God wants to open for you in the coming days? And that's why we need the favor of God. That's why we need the blessings of God. Listen to me. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I believe that the Lord wants to enlarge your coast. How many believe that God wants to enlarge your coast? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, that you will multiply. not talking about naming and claiming it here either. I'm talking about truth that transforms. I'm talking about the blessings of God. And sometimes the spiritual blessings obviously outweigh the material blessings. So don't misunderstand. But it might be in your particular situation. It might be a material blessing that God has in store. To Him be glory. We don't put our trust in those, not in riches, but in the Lord Himself. So, number two, we need the blessings of God because of the opportunities that lie before you. Now, you don't know where you're going to college, do you? And you don't really know what's going to happen after that, do you? And you're not really sure where you're going to work, are you? And you don't really know who is God's will to get married, do you? Oh, no. And there's a lot of questions we don't, and you're not really sure about all the Social Security you're going to be getting when you retire, are you? And you're not really sure about all the retirement that you're thinking you're planning on when you get to that time, are you? And you're not really sure about the future of your children and who they might marry, do you? You don't really know that. And that's why we need the blessings of God, the favor of God, number three. Not only because of, number one, those that are around us will come back. Opportunities ahead of us. Number three, we need the blessings of God, the favor of God, because of, number three, of who is after us. Oh, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And then finally, number four, the fourth reason I see in this particular text that God gave me this week to give to you is number four, we need, how many need the favor of God, the blessings of God in your life? Well, I do, because of not only those around us and the opportunities ahead of us and the adversary that's after us, but number four, because the Almighty is over us. Yes, that's what Jabez said, that your hand would be with me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Let's read this together, can we? Are you ready? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, come on, say it with me. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me. I can't hear you. And that you would keep me. Why aren't some of you reading that? Don't you want the blessings of God? Sure you do. You ought to read it. The Word of God has life and power. Oh, yes, it does. Number one, the reason I need, and how many of us need, the favor of God, number one, is because of those that are around us. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Again, the word, the Barak is the word bless. It means to invoke God's favor because of those that are around us. Now, wait a minute. I can see Jabez right now in my mind's eye. We don't know a lot about this man. There's not a lot. Right here is about the extent of what we know about Jabez. I can see him right now as he walks up. He's in school. I mean, he's in school. How many of you are in school? Raise your hand. Come on, you're in high school. Don't be ashamed. Hey, look, I know what you're thinking. And here comes old Jabez when he was probably in school. His friends probably said, here comes the pain in the neck. Jabez is the pain in the neck. You understand what his name means, don't you? Jabez means sorrow or pain. He's a pain in the neck. Speaking of pain in the neck, baby, the doctor slapped the mama instead of the baby, all right? But anyway, hey, he's a pain in the neck. And so when he's coming, he's already marked as a stigma. Look, there's old Pain Boy right there. I mean, everywhere he went, here's Mr. Pain. How would you like to be labeled a name like that and everybody stigmatize your name when you're in school and you show up at work? Here's Manos, here's Brother Sorrows, here's old Brother Payne. Come on, Brother Payne, you can come on in here with us. Oh, yes, you talk about a challenge to be labeled and targeted. But you know what Jabez did? I believe that Jabez rose above it. Don't miss this. Jabez did not let the world's opinion about him keep him down from doing what God wanted him to do. And neither should you or me. Jabez learned to overcome. Jabez learned to rise above. Jabez learned how to trust God. God, and you can too. I know you're sitting here today and you're saying, "But pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've had to endure as a child. You don't know my family situation. You don't know my health issues. I may not know it, but God knows it. And I'm telling you, because Jesus Christ overcame, we are overcomers, and you can rise above it, and you can ascend into heaven, because our God is a mighty God. He's a great God. He's a God who knows how to take us from nothing and bring us into something. He's the one that's mapped out the life before us. He's the one that lifts us up. He's the one that carries us through storms. He's the one that'll give you a song in the night. He's the one that walks with us when we're in the valley. He is the one. And regardless of what the devil's done in your life, I'm telling you today, our God is a great God. He's a great God. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. But you know what, beloved? We need to be blessed. Two parts. Be blessed, but then be a blessing. If you get text messages every once in a while, I like to write that on my text messages. Be blessed and be a blessing. There's one thing to be a son of God. I mean, there's one thing to be a child of God. Watch this. But it's another thing to be in fellowship with God. You want the blessings of God? You want the favor of God in your life? You and I have to get in position to get the blessings of God. Can I ask you a personal question? When's the last time you've been up to the altar? I ask you a question. When's the last time you've been to the altar? When's the last time you got on your knees before God? When's the last time you asked for God's blessing? Oh, a week ago? A month ago? 6 months ago? Was it a year ago? Have you been lately? Why aren't you doing business with God? You want the blessings of God. You got to get right with God. Hello? It's one thing to be His child. It's another thing to be in fellowship with God. God requires us that we walk with Him daily in the light. We all want the favor of God. We all want the blessings of God. But what are you willing to do to confess your sins, to get the favor of God? You say, "But what sins are you talking about, Brother Pastor?" I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many have had a bad attitude lately? How many have been angry lately? How many have been saying things and you said, I don't get mad, I just get even? That might be the world's mentality, but it's not God's. How many have been saying, I've been watching pornography and you know, Lord, I've been covetousness and I've been, I'm fixing to get on a, I've been on Facebook and gossiping. Hello. I've been gossiping about this, that, and the other. And I've been having critical thoughts, judgmental thoughts about this and that. Come on, man. We got to get real with God. We want the blessings of God. We want the favor of God. We've got to go God's way. I've got to go God's way. You've got to go God's way. We've all got to go God's way. If we want God's blessings on New Rocky Creek Church, we've got to get on praying ground. We've got to get where God wants. Now, you can imagine, and I can deceive myself in thinking that, oh, God, just I'm special to God, and God knows my sin, and He just blesses me anyway. Oh, I know the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but if you really want to have the blessings of God and the favor of God on your life, you got to get on God's level. Are you willing to do that? Lord, make us blessable. And then, Lord, make us a blessing. Hey, look up here just a moment. How many want to be a blessing today? Let me see your hand. You want to be a blessing today. How many are going to be a blessing today? You could be a blessing today to somebody. God blesses us, but don't you want to be a blessing to somebody? Oh, yes, you know what you can do today? You can pray for somebody today. Will you just come to church and think it's all about you? I said, will you just come to church and sit and think it's all about you? Come on, bless me, God, if you can. No, no, no. Lord, bless me, but make me a blessing to somebody else. You know what? You can be a blessing today. I dare say, I challenge you. Will you be a blessing today? I challenge you. Will you be a blessing today? Will you pray for somebody today? How many is going to pray for somebody today? How many of you are going to encourage somebody today? Will you speak a word of encouragement to somebody today? You can be a blessing to somebody. Speak a word of encouragement to them. You know what? You know how you can be a blessing to somebody? You see a need and you might want to give toward that need. You can be a blessing to somebody. You know how? By bearing one of those burdens. You say, but Pastor, I've got all these problems and I've got all this stuff. And well, if you'll start reaching out to somebody else, you'll find out that God will send somebody to reach out to you.
We often just get so focused inwardly that we don't focus outwardly. Don't you want to be a blessing to somebody today? Will you pray for somebody? Will you encourage somebody? Will you give to somebody? Will you bear each other's burdens? How about, won't you tell somebody about the love of God? Won't you tell somebody about Jesus, the one that saved you, the one that washed you in his blood? If you're saved, I want to be a blessing today, Lord. You know what? From week to week, I need the favor of God on my life. I'm preaching myself today. You know why? From week to week, and I say this not to brag at all, but from week to week, I have the privilege of praying sometimes with hundreds of people in a week's time. Hundreds of people in a week's time. Hundreds of people in a week's time. And I need to be in right with God. I'm like you. I need to be in favor with God. Last week, for example, I mean, just a few isolated incidents every week. You know, let me just say this. The most important time I have every day, daily. You know what some of the most important time I have every day? It's praying for you. I set aside an hour just to pray for you every day, besides other prayer time. An hour. Call your name. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying I called your name, Mike, this morning. I called your name, Pam, to God's throne of grace. I called your name, Jim. I called your name to God's throne of grace, Betty. I'm not saying that to brag, Ken, but I'm just telling you my most important time during the day is to lift you up as a church family. I believe this is part of my responsibility as a shepherd to pray for the flock. Ask God's blessing on the flock of God, that God will bless you today, that God will protect you today, that God will send resources your way today. And oh, it's a privilege to lift each one of you by name. I need your prayers too. Oh yes, this week alone, Brother Curtis called and told me about his daughter Cheryl had a stroke and her leg is incapacitated. Pastor, will you pray? Sure, let's pray right now. Let's take her to the Lord, the throne of grace now. Oh, yes. Was at the hospital with Sister Bobby Bailey. She was moved yesterday, by the way, over to Canton and spent time every day since she was put in the hospital, praying with her, praying with her son, Daryl, praying for the family, talking with them. I'm not saying this to draw attention. I'm just telling you, I need the favor of God. And then Marcia called. Her stepdad, J.L. Lane, passed away. And she called and said, pray for the family. We prayed right there on the phone. Then she called back on Friday, I guess it was, had another need in the family, and we lifted up that need to God's throne of grace. I was at Athens Regional Hospital on Thursday from Newton County up to Athens praying with Brother Darren Healy. He had had back surgery, asking God to bless him, asking God's blessings on his life. And I could tell you over and over again from week to week, praying with each other and praying for one another. It was Tuesday night, was in revival meeting over in Shadydale at Providence Baptist Church. When everybody left, a young man came and everybody was gone. And a young man came, 40 years old, and he said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be in the will of God. I want to know God's will. I want God's blessings on my life. Hey, look, I can't get a hold of God. I can't get a line to heaven if I'm not right with God. And you and I need to be right with God. And the church said, we need to pray for each other. You going to be blessing today to somebody? You going to hug their neck and tell them you love them today? Oh, listen. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And then secondly, not only do we need the favor of God, the blessings of God today because of those around us. Mamas and daddies, you understand your influence around your children is largely determined by the blessings of God on your life. The favor of God on your life. Just because you come to church, that don't mean that you're living a Christian godly life. But you need the blessings of God. You need the favor of God. Your children are watching you. Your children are listening to you. They're watching us, and our grandchildren are watching us. That's why you need, and I need, the favor and blessings of God. And the church said, because you're being read like an epistle. One false move, one bad response, and they're not going to forget it. You got to deal with it. Hello, I need the blessings of God, Lord, on my life. And then not only that, but number two, how many want the blessings of God, the favor of God, not only because of those around us, number two, because of the opportunities ahead of us. Look at the text. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Look what he says. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And then notice what he says. And enlarge my coast. Say that with me. enlarge my coast. Say it again. What's he mean? He means multiply. That's literally what the word means. Rabbah is the Hebrew word. Enlarge my coast. That is, multiply my influence, Lord, and give me opportunity. Hey, look. I'm convinced God is a good God. Somebody say amen. I'm convinced God has so many things for you and me that we do not even realize. You don't realize what God has in store for you, and I don't realize what God has in store for me. Look at this, beloved. I mentioned to you earlier, speaking of God enlarging our coast. Speaking of God enlarging our coast, the prayer of Jabez. This opportunity seemingly has come. Now, make no mistake about it. I personally have been praying for over 25 years about this. Others have been praying about this. To get the gospel, the word of God, outside the four walls of the church. To be a blessing to those that not only in our immediate community, but in our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Missions. We got teams going out on a mission trip in October. Missions, yeah. Lord, we want to get the gospel out. Look at this. I don't know if you can see this very well or not, but you can certainly point out that Atlanta area. I talked with Doug Duran on WMVV Radio 90.7. How many listen to that station? We've been taking surveys of the station. And here's what he sent me. All right now, we're in preliminary, just carrying it one step at a time. And I'm not going to go into all details right now because we don't have all the details worked out. All I'm saying is, will you pray, all right? First pray. And then as God leads, your will be done. Here is Atlanta. You see Atlanta right here? Here is the band. Here is the area that is covered under this radio ministry. And then you can see where we're located. Here is Covington, Georgia. Here is Mansfield, Georgia. Here is Monticello, Georgia, right here inside this zero, this early map. This is the Atlanta area. It's going all the way down to Warner Robins area. Look at the people that are moving in this area. And believe it or not, a lot of people ride by the church, and they never know the church is here, people that move the community. Can I ask you how many have ridden by the church and never knew it was here? Raise your hand. I know that. Raise it high where people can see. Raise it high where people can see. A lot of people don't see the sign down there, even though we've done a good job with it, praise God. But if you're not paying attention, you just don't pay attention. Now, I visited a home yesterday about the new sign down there at Larry's Fourway. A lady rode by the sign. She stopped by the church office. She's not here in this service. She may come to the 11 o'clock service. I went to visit her. And she said, I said, how'd you find out about the church? She said, I saw the church sign right down there at Larry's. How many like that sign? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, folks, listen. We're not clapping because it's about us and we're patting ourselves on the back. We're clapping because God is speaking to people, pointing them where they can get help, spiritual help, build their families on the solid rock, and get help from Jesus. That's what we're praying. That's what we're asking God. Can you imagine the number of people in our area? 2.7 million is what Doug Duran, potentially, this particular opportunity can reach. You know what my prayer is? God, your will be done. Hey, if the Lord shuts the door, that's all right. I believe he'll open up another one. But if the Lord opens it, praise God. He said, I've set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. And won't it be wonderful as a church to know that we are, our coast is being enlarged. And oh my, 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 what a blessing, what a blessing. Because I know you're witnessing. I know you're witnessing, right? You are witnessing, aren't you? You're witnessing at Walmart, right? You are witnessing in your neighborhood, right? Yeah, you're telling people about inviting them to come to church, right? I know you are. And just to remind you, if you're not, speak a good word. I mean, that's the best way to get out the word anyway. Invite somebody to church. Sit with them. Hey, God's saying, I would enlarge your coast. But you know what? Bruce Wilkerson well told the story. He said, a man died and dreamed he went to heaven. And when he got up in heaven, he said the angel showed him a great big warehouse. And it was full of great big boxes and shelves. And he walked in that warehouse. He saw these boxes, this man who died and went to heaven. And he said to the angel, what's that box over there? And the angel said, look at it closer.
and he walked closer to the box. He looked on the top of the box, and it had his name on the box. He said, "What does this mean?" And the angel said, "This was what God intended for you on earth, but you didn't ask him." And then he saw another box on the other side. He said, "What about that great big box there? It's got a bow on it. It's wrapped in nice paper. What does that mean?" And the angel said, "Look at it." And he looked at it, and it had his name on it. And the angel said, "That's what God wanted to do through your life. And God intended to send you that blessing. But you didn't ask him. You didn't ask him. We have not because we ask not." Wonder of the opportunities God has on your path and my path this coming week. If we'll ask him, if we'll trust him. Oh, the missed opportunities. That leads me to number three, the third reason why you and I need the favor of God and the blessings of God, not only for those around us, and not only for the opportunities ahead of us, but number three, what about the adversary that's after us? Look at the text of Jabez, his prayer. You'll notice what he said. He said, "That thou wouldest bless me, and that you will enlarge my territory, my coast, and your hand will be with me." And then if you'll notice, he said, "And you'll keep me from evil." You'll keep me from evil. Let's say that together. Keep me from evil. Say it again. Keep me from evil. Now, I realize that translators, and matter of fact, some of your Bibles, I know you're looking at your Bible right now, and you're running your word study on that word, keep me from evil. And the word ra is the word evil, and the Hebrew word can mean and does mean adversity. It can be related to pain. However, I want to take it a step further, and I don't believe I'd do misjustice as I exegete the passage, rightly divide the word of truth, and suggest to you that the word keep me from evil, whether it means adversity, which it does, and pain, which it does, but I suggest to you the devil is behind a lot of that. And all you have to do is open up the book of Job and see that there was a day when the sons of God came before God and Satan also. And so you could say, "Lord, keep me not only from adversity, but keep me from the adversary." Peter wrote and said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom may stand steadfast in the faith. Knowing the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Do you realize, beloved, Satan is the accuser of the brethren? How many of you has he been accusing this week? "Ah, look what you've done. Look how you've lived. Look at that attitude. Look how you are. Look who you're with." This is a courtroom scene. I want to take you back real quick to the scene of Joshua in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And there is a courtroom scene. And there is Satan as the prosecuting attorney. And I can see the devil, Satan, pointing his finger, saying, "Guilty, guilty, 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 guilty. Guilty, guilty of sin, guilty of sin, guilty of sin, guilty of sin." I can see the devil pointing his finger. God the Father is the judge, and the devil says, "He's sinned. I know he's sinned. And the penalty I propose," says the prosecuting attorney, "death, the lake of fire." That's where he deserves. That's what she deserves. The lake of fire. Send them to the place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Who could deny? Who could deny? Who could deny? We're all sinners. You can't deny that you're guilty and I'm guilty. The prosecuting attorney says guilty. And then the judge of all the earth, standing and sitting on his throne in heaven, says, "Does anybody else have a defense for him and her and him and them?" And then all of a sudden, our defending attorney, our lawyer, our paracaleo,
our advocate. He says in the courtroom after Satan points his finger, keep us from the evil one, his accusations, his intimidations, his temptations. And the defending attorney with the nail scars in his hand says to the father, the judge, he says, but I've got my blood, and he sprinkles his blood on the altar and in the mercy seat of that courtroom. And he says to the judge of all the earth, he says, I beg mercy for him. I beg mercy for her based on my blood, because of my shed blood. And he sprinkles it on the altar. And then Father looks at the blood of his son, the perfect blood, the propitiation, and he's appeased, he's satisfied. And the judge says, mercy, 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 mercy based on my son's blood. And he looks at me and he looks at you and he says, not guilty. You get to go free. Somebody else paid your price. You are free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, that you'll enlarge my coast, multiply my coast, your hand might be on me. Riding out there in Atlanta, Jackie, you showed me a picture of that car that could have snuffed you out. If we could only see how God dispatches his angels around us every day, we'd fall on our face before God today and say, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Yes, we would. I need the favor of God, the blessings of God, because of those that are around us, because of those opportunities before us. Lord, I need your blessings. I want your favor, Lord, today. Not only that, but those, the devil who's after us. Withstand him steadfast. Jesus conquered hell and death and the grave. But then lastly, because the Father, who's always with us, and over us. I wonder today, as you think about the blessings of God, the favor of God, blessed with God's favor. Would you stand to your feet right now?